I should like to attempt a type of discourse this morning, which is dangerous. It's known as the allegorical, or perhaps the prolonged metaphor. Wise speakers never touch it, belonging to a select group who rush in where angels fear to tread. I take it on. I'd like to select as a sort of a text some ungrammatical but striking words of a country girl who came to a city high school. She said, "I ain't what I ought to be, and I ain't what I'm going to be, but anyhow, I ain't what I was." That thought is more elegantly expressed on a monument over in the Air Force Academy in Colorado. It's a sculptured falcon, and on the base of the monument we read, "Man's flight through life is sustained by the power of his knowledge." And another sentence in similar vein: "The soul of man hungers and thirsts for understanding. That hunger gnaws at his soul and spirit." And Emerson added his bit when he said, "Man loves to wonder, and that is the seed of our science." Now today, the astronauts are the heroes. We are hearing a lot of them, and they're doing a lot for us. But I should like, if I may, to consider and think of each of you as an astronaut, one who was launched from another sphere and is temporarily on this little space island, preparing to continue an endless flight. The fact that you're here at the Y indicates that you're not wholly satisfied with your present status. You're here to continue your education, to search for truth, to improve and qualify yourselves for what lies ahead. Each of you is potentially at least an architect, a sculptor, a scientist, but for the moment, let's just be an astronaut. An astronaut who is carried to this phase of your journey, or to this momentarily stopping place, by a mothership. And you've been provided with a very miraculous space suit or capsule. And each of you has been given a spark, a divine spark, which will continue to ignite that super fuel which we call truth and knowledge. And of this there is an inexhaustible supply. A constant refueling will enable you to continue this second stage of your journey, and then you will launch and propel an indestructible missile, yourselves, into outer space. The amount of this fuel, knowledge, which you acquire and utilize will determine and, in a sense, delimit your flight. For this venture, and I warn you that it's crammed with risk, you'll be provided with plans and specifications, rules and regulations, maps and compasses, a complete instrument panel, and best of all, there is available to you a master pilot, a perfect teacher. First, you should be reminded that time is limited and that it is of supreme importance. In fact, the countdown on your next flight started when you landed here. And it will continue without interruption. Only the counter knows which number will signal the takeoff, the launching. It may come at any time. Be prepared. Your curriculum will be exacting and detailed. Your training will be rigorous, but rewarding. You'll be trusted with free agency, the right to choose your course and your conduct. But you should know that, like all other astronauts, strict obedience to undeviating law is absolutely prerequisite to a successful flight. The conditions of your physical, mental, moral, and spiritual health will be checked and noted on your boarding pass. And self-discipline and self-mastery will enable you to keep on your course. Be clean. You will receive and are now receiving preliminary training from other pilots and teachers. They're experienced. You should heed them. This training will continue until the time of your sudden and perhaps unexpected takeoff. You must be ready. The call may come at any time. And your pleas for extended time to correct mistakes will be unavailing. You're betting your life on the outcome. And remember, it's your life. The master pilot, the scientist and teacher, is always available to you. Constant contact may be maintained by a sort of radar, sometimes known as prayer. Following the course described by him will ensure a continuing success almost comparable to his own. For he has said, follow me. And he has promised possible perfection. He himself, after long pre-flight preparation, for as the apostle says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And after this preparation, he took off and came to this space island. And from it has taken off again, has launched a flight and a program that is destined to continue, not in orbit around one little planet, but that flight will be over and under and through and above all the stars and suns and planets of the universe, where there are uncounted myriads of worlds. His power and influence pervades them all. Be prayerful. By voluntary personal sacrifice, he broke the barriers of death. And he made it possible for all to be launched into eternity, into realms more wonderful and glorious than the minds or hearts of mortal men can contemplate or comprehend. But for his efforts in your behalf, you couldn't continue beyond this second stage of your flight. Be grateful. On succeeding stages of your journey, you will become acquainted with and utilize various units of time and space. And for a moment now, I'd like to paraphrase Dr. Eyring and utilize some knowledge which he has and I lack. As of now, you're content with such units as seconds and seasons, meters and miles. But later you'll be concerned with the chemical world of molecules and atoms, where electrons complete their evolutions in 1,100,000,000,000ths of a second. Grasp that if you can. And where 1 inch measures 100 million atoms, your further research may be with the nucleus of this atom, where events happen 1 million times faster still, and where distances are 1,000 times smaller than in the atom. And then in outer space you will find the revolution of planets, and it's measured in years rather than fractions of a second. And the unit of distance is the light year, which, as you know, is the 1 year's journey with the speed of light, or 186,000 miles a second, or perhaps about 10,000 million miles. And later you will penetrate the spiritual realm, where time and space shall be no more, and referred to only as eternities and limitless. Be reverent. And thus in thought, and later in reality, you will be able to see and comprehend the infinitesimally small and the infinitely large. Be humble. Your stay, a stopover really, on this island, is for conditioning. It's preparatory phase of your journey. You, of course, have known from the beginning that you must discard or jettison part of your equipment en route. For beyond certain atmospheres, you'll need freedom from the downdrag, a lighter load for greater speed. And by discarding temporarily for reef conditioning, you will be streamlined for eternity and discard this mundane shell. How foolish and unrealistic it is for some people to say and speak of this necessary metamorphosis as death, or think of it in terms of the end of the flight. On this subject, I'd like to bring you a word from the noted Dr. Wernher von Braun, the noted space and missile scientist. I read. He said, many people seem to feel that science has somehow made religious ideas untimely and old-fashioned. But I think the scientists have a real surprise for the skeptics. Science, for instance, tells us that nothing in nature, not even the tiniest particle, can disappear without a trace. Nature does not know extinction. All it knows is transformation. Now, if God applies this fundamental principle to the most minute and insignificant parts of his universe, doesn't it make sense to assume that he applies it also to the human soul? I think it does. And everything science has taught me and continues to teach me strengthens my belief in the continuity of the spiritual existence after death. Nothing disappears without a trace. And now I ask you, do you think it's possible that in this universe of yours, created and governed according to eternal law, that the most insignificant creatures, the most intelligent creatures, rather, in it are here by chance? Is it possible that there was no plan or purpose or design? Did the Creator make a stairway leading to nowhere? Or did he plan a flight leading to a certain fatal crash? And so your flight is to be eternal. And you are to be at the controls with full responsibility and freedom to choose your course and your conduct and take the consequences. Be careful. How tragically and unforgivably foolish would be a pilot Who would discard his oxygen mask and leave the controls and take a whiff of some exhilarating gas for the momentary thrill and thus endanger the whole flight? In some other way, perhaps deliberately incapacitating himself and condemning himself to be eternally grounded? How foolish. Some have complained that the law of cause and effect is inequitable and lacks proportion. Some say that the consequences of their folly are unjust and extreme. But I want to tell you, young folks, that in life, as with the missile, the slightest defect in a part or functioning, be it ever so small, may lead the missile or the life far from its goal and ultimately to destruction. Be sensible. While the principle of repentance is an eternal principle, imagine, if you can, the futility of a man who deliberately jumps from a dizzy height, starting to repent on the way down. He may repent all the way down, but his sorrow, it will not lessen the pull of gravity, nor will it cushion the impact. There is no swift repentance can retrieve a violated principle. No crying, I believe. No, we must wear it out by patient years. For each descent from fair truth's lofty way, for each gross error which delays the soul, by that soul's gloom and loneliness we pay, and by retarded journey to its goal. Now your flight of which we speak will lead to one of three great kingdoms called telestial, terrestrial, and celestial. One's knowledge and self-mastery and intelligence will determine his destination. The rules of admittance into all these kingdoms are fixed and irrevocable, and their blessings are predicated upon observance of law. Be obedient. This flight toward immortality and eternal life and eternal increase of knowledge and the power that comes with it, increase of awareness and the joy that comes from understanding when the awareness that enables one to savor and to relish the abundant life. Increase of intelligence, which is the glory of God, and which will be the measure of your glory. Increase, in fact, of all the things that go to make up Godhood. Now let us leave the analogy for a moment and come back to reality. Solid fact. You students in these classrooms, the scientists in their laboratories, the explorers in distant places, the astronauts in outer space, and the prayerful man upon his knees, all are seeking for truth. And with increased efficiency and accumulated knowledge, they are pursuing this quest and bid you join them. Be diligent. Now, though at the moment the future looks dark and foreboding, though our world is divided and imperiled, and though the forces of Christ and Antichrist have joined in awful conflict, I want to bring to you a word of hope and courage. and say to you that victory lies ahead for the cause which the great scientist has espoused. And whether it is victory for you or not will depend on you. And in support of my encouraging and optimistic outlook, may I read to you the words of a prophet of God named John, who had a vision. And among other things, he said, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to a bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. I wish we could shut some of them up. And he set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nations anymore. And then John went on in a rhapsody of his vision. And as I read it this morning, rather early, conscience wouldn't let me sleep, I wondered as I listened to John whether he too was an astronaut, describing what he was seeing out there. For he said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice coming out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for former things have passed away. Yes, my fellow students, a hunger for truth and understanding gnaws at the spirit and soul of man and his mind. And his flight through life is sustained by the power of his knowledge, and may I add, the purity of his life. Cultivate a hunger for truth. Have faith. Be faithful. Heed that invincible surmise which Santa Anna spoke of when he said, O world, thou choosest not the better plan. It is not wisdom to be only wise and on the inner vision close the eyes, but it is wisdom to believe the heart. Columbus found the world and had no chart save that which faith deciphered in the skies. To trust the soul's invincible surmise was all his science and his only art. Our knowledge is as a torch of smoky pine. It lights our pathway but one step ahead across a void of mystery and dread. Bid then the eternal light of faith to shine, by which alone the human heart is led unto the thinking of the thought divine. My young friends, it is part of my calling to bear witness of the master pilot. Of him I tell you now, he lives, he is a reality. You can contact him. And even as Peter, by the power of his priesthood, said in answer to the Christ, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And as Christ told him, the source of that knowledge was not on earth, but from heaven. So I, with the same power and the same authority, knowing it from the same source, I declare to you, my young friends, God is a reality. Your coming here was not accidental. You have undertaken a course, and you must live with yourself throughout eternity. You are at the controls. Be faithful, and God bless you all. Amen.